absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 177 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today our show will be all about intercultural complexity and simplicity. Our current exchange students from Vietnam and Lithuania are here in Germany studying and doing their internships. Within their first days after their arrival, they mentioned some cultural differences concerning the complexity and simplicity in their new lives and in their home countries. Cultural anthropologists have discovered and described differences in the level of cultural complexity in various parts of the world. But, as we know, the understanding of such a difficult and complicated phenomenon isn't the same if you just read about it. Traveling around the world and getting in touch with all these different cultures is probably the best way to understand how cultures, and especially cultural conventions, differ from country to country. In our interviews, we are in a comfortable situation. Our exchange students have lived in several different countries and have been in touch with many different cultures and are going to share some of their experiences with us today. So in our first category, Absolutely Different, I interviewed An and Za from Vietnam. They have just arrived in Germany and are going to share some of their first impressions of the main differences in complexity between their own, the Finnish culture, and the German culture. An told us that in Europe he never quite knows how to cross a busy street without the fear of cars or cyclists bumping into him.
I was actually on my way to the supermarket and I was crossing the road. There was a man driving very fast and he was just supposed to bump me, but then he stopped and then I stopped.
In our second category, Absolutely Polite, I asked Zimas from Lithuania and Tatiana from Germany to share some examples of how everyday cultural practices differ from each other. It is never easy, even when someone offers you something to eat or drink.
If you are straightforward, as if you are a German, for example, you would almost be seen as being a rude person in a sense. First time you have to say no, but if the person who is inviting you is a good host, he will ask you again.
In our third category, Absolutely Life-Changing, we asked ourselves how conventions and perceptions may change as a result of a prolonged stay abroad. Ja and An are going to tell us about their feelings back in Vietnam, spending their vacations at home after a long stay in Europe.
If something happened like unexpectedly, like, and then my mom, for example, she would make a turn like this, and then I was just like holding her like, please don't, mom, please.
But now let us start with the show. You are listening to Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann. The grade of complexity of different cultures is difficult to measure, but perhaps quite easy to feel out when you are in that culture for the first time. Is it safe to assume that older cultures have developed more complexity? Does that make sense? Is this a one-way street, and do cultures become more and more complex over the centuries? A little bit like our tax law seems to be getting more and more complex because politicians discover loopholes and then try to fix them. As always on Absolutely Intercultural, we are not trying to find scientific truths, but give room to our interviewees' personal impressions and experiences. Maybe one way to find out about simplicity and complexity would be to observe what the predominant ideal of a given culture is. How about your own culture, the culture you live in? Which word is seen as more positive in your language? The word simple or the word complex? Of course, I mean the equivalents in your own language. In German, I think this is very clear. On the whole, we like things to be complex and sophisticated. Even the word kompliziert, the equivalent of the word complicated, does not necessarily have a bad connotation, but sounds like a good challenge. When I studied in England, however, I was surprised to hear that these words were used quite differently. I had to learn the hard way that if a person is described as complex or even intelligent, my friends really meant this was a warning not to spend too much time with these people. Now, this is quite the opposite of what I would have understood in German. During my visits to England, but also to Australia, I began to like this positive image of simplicity, which is quite strange for Germans. That people dress down on a Sunday, that they call a beautiful house, maybe even with columns at the front, Rose Cottage, as if it was a hut in the countryside. That the Queen of England seems to like photographs of herself with Wellington boots and a headscarf, in the rain on a muddy street in Scotland, surrounded by her dogs and maybe her horses. Now, if the French had a queen, I simply cannot imagine she would allow pictures of herself in these circumstances to be published worldwide. There must be a cultural difference. With this in mind, let's move to our first category, absolutely different. Jia and An, both native Vietnamese, studying in Finland and right now spending a semester abroad in Germany, have had the opportunity to make a number of intercultural experiences. I asked them which intercultural differences they noticed first after their arrival to Europe, and if maybe they even had a culture shock.
I'd say the main culture shock for me when I first came here was about the traffic. Because if you have been in either Vietnam or India, you should realize this, that the traffic is a total chaos. Traffics and vehicles, they are moving around so fast and so, you know, like chaotically that you don't even realize which way they're going. And there is no tendency that they will stop for a pedestrian to pass the streets. Mm-hmm. However, when I came here and I experienced it, it was quite like a bolt for me, because it was quite a fun experience for me when I first came to Finland, and I was actually on my way to the supermarket and I was crossing the road, and there was a man driving very fast, and he was just supposed to bump me, but then he stopped, and then I stopped. So there was like a block inside.
So you as a pedestrian also stopped in the middle of the street?
Yeah, I stopped when I see him because okay. I was expecting that which way he was going, and was he going to bump me or something, mm-hmm. but actually he stopped. And then I look at him and he looked at me, both very awkwardly, because we don't know what each other would do at that moment.
Yes. Yeah, because the rules were not clear.
And also, queuing up here in Germany is a lot simpler than it is in Vietnam, because it's...
Do people queue up in Vietnam?
Yeah, in a funny way, it's like 3, 4, 5 people at the same lines, like queuing up like okay. this. So in here, also in Finland, like it's clear like who's the next one, who's mm-hmm. like the first and the second, that's it. But in Vietnam, it was like everyone was at the same time, at the same place. So
right.
it would be like the faster person get to serve first. It doesn't okay. mean like you were there first or something.
Do you use your elbows in these big queues where you want to get to the front?
Well, to be honest, sometimes like when you get so annoyed because people just keep, you know, jumping into your place and then you just have to like, please excuse me. Yes, sometimes I have to do that.
What are you feeling about this? Do you think that this is a nice sport and they should have it in Finland as well? Or do you enjoy that you don't fight for your place? What are your feelings about this?
Frankly, I miss the fight in Vietnam, actually. But then once you get adapted to the culture, you know, like you start to prefer this kind of easy things. Like you form a line, you wait there, you wait until your turn, and then you get the tickets, and that's all. You don't have to fight, you don't have to waste calories in such like futile things.
No, but there's also good thing about queuing in Vietnam because it's so chaotic. Like people standing next to each other are so like their chances you can end up having like really good small talk with other people.
Okay. Yeah. Whereas if you stand in a line in Europe, you don't get to know anybody because everybody is only standing in line but not making conversation.
I don't think they practice small talk when queuing up here.
That's a good point. I think I can say for myself that I never really have small talk with the people I'm queuing up with. And as Zar said, it might make sense to talk to them. After all, you're queuing up perhaps even for the same film in the cinema. So you might have something in common with the others. I will try this out the next time I go to the cinema and make some small talk. Now for our second category, absolutely polite, I interviewed two students, Zimas from Lithuania and Tatiana from Germany. And we got talking about what it means to be hospitable when you have friends in your own home. If you offer food and they say no thank you, would you ask them again in your culture? Or would you just accept that they are not hungry? What is the convention in your culture?
It's usually like you're being asked, would you like something to eat? And what you have to say, no matter if you want to eat something or not, you have to say no. If you say yes, you are being rude.
So the rule is that you should never accept straight away when somebody offers you something to eat?
It's pretty much that if you are straightforward, as if you are a German, for example, you would almost be seen as being a rude person in a sense.
Okay.
If you, for first time, you have to say no, but if the person who is inviting you is a good host, he will ask you again. And usually if you're very polite, you will say no again, but he will ask you another time. And it's just like, it's a bit silly that you would have to say no when you're actually hungry when you think about it. But it's kind of it's a normal cultural thing. And
okay, so it's a little more complex. You need to know the rules. Does it ever go wrong in your country? When you say no, does the other person always ask you again?
It actually happens. It gets really funny if you aren't actually hungry and you're trying to say that you're not, but he's maybe just thinking
because
that
I don't believe you.
Yeah, maybe they just think that you're being polite and you're just like, oh, I'll ask you again, and it may get really annoying.
What would you think, Tatiana, you're German, if you offered me something to eat and I said no thank you, what would happen?
From the first reaction, it would be, okay, Lawrence don't want to eat anything and that's okay.
Okay, so you wouldn't ask again?
No, maybe if we're going to meet longer, then I ask after a while if you want another, but not directly afterwards.
Okay, but you would take no for an answer. So if I say, no, I don't want anything to eat, that would be the end of it. Would that be the same in your family as well?
No, it wouldn't. When I go to my grandmother, like Simas, it's a bit similar. My grandma always ask if I want to eat something, if I want to drink something. And I started not to eat something before I meet my grandma, because she'll ask all the time and I don't want to make her sad.
All right. Now, I assume that your grandmother is not Lithuanian, but also German?
Yeah, she is German. And it's just the way she learned how it's going to be, that she has to ask the people if they want something to eat, and that the guests feel comfortable in her house.
So Tatiana says that students in Germany would not ask several times, and maybe not even their parents. However, her grandmother's generation would also act like the Lithuanians and would ask several times, even if she gets a clear no the first time round. Maybe this would be an indication that in the old days the Lithuanian and the German cultures were more similar, but over the last two generations the conventions have developed in different directions. Of course, it helps to know these conventions in order not to create a misunderstanding. Last semester we had an exchange student from Jordan, and she was traveling with an impossibly heavy suitcase. At the railway station, a tall German student offered her to carry the suitcase up the stairs for her. And she answered, without even thinking about it, "Oh no, thank you." However, she was very surprised that this guy then just moved up the stairs and left her alone with the suitcase. Because for her, declining the first offer was just an Arabic convention. And there she was, all on her own, and she could not even handle her suitcase. You're listening to Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and we are coming to our last category, absolutely life-changing. We asked ourselves whether spending a long time in a different country, getting used to different cultural habits, may change your appreciation of your own native cultural conventions. Ja and Anne have spent their holidays back home, in Vietnam, but after spending a long time in Europe. So I asked them if there was anything that made them feel uncomfortable in their own home culture after such a long time of absence. Jia had a bit of a culture shock when her mum and her friends gave her a lift on the scooter. All of a sudden, the traffic in Ho Chi Minh City, where she had actually grown up, looked very frightening to her. Too noisy, too crowded, in a word, too complex.
If something happened like unexpectedly, like, and then my mom, for example, she would make a turn like this, mm-hmm. and then I was just like holding her like, please don't, mom, please. I was doing like that all the time. Like even my friend, it was going at the speed like 40 kilometers per hour. Mm. But still, it was a lot for me in that kind of, you know, so much traffic. And I was telling them, please slower, please, please. I was all the time like that.
So on your holidays, you are beginning to find Vietnam a little dangerous for yourself?
Really dangerous, because especially it was around our dead holiday, the mm-hmm. biggest festival of our country. So everything just get more noisy and more crowded, and people just get crazier with their driving. So,
do you sometimes find that there is too little happening in Europe, especially in Finland, that there are too few people?
Yes, sometimes I do find, because like in weekends, I really want to hang out with some of my friends and go outside the road and, you know, like ram around and find a little fun for myself. But really, when you get out of European roads, you don't see anyone outside there.
They're empty.
Yeah, it's empty. It's totally empty. But for in Vietnam, you know, when you get out on Sunday or Saturdays, no, you don't get out because you don't even want to think about it because it's so crowded outside, and there should be, there will always be traffic jam all right outside. So it's the safest bet for you to stay at home and watch TV in Vietnam, actually.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because in Vietnam, Saturday and Sunday are the, you know, the crowded day of the week where people, all people just get outside and enjoy their holiday. But here, like in Europe, they want to spend it with their family inside.
It is true that in Europe, complexity is reduced over the weekend. In Germany, the shops do not even open on Sundays, and the streets are pretty empty. On the contrary, in some Arabic countries, but also in India and in Asia, you get the big traffic jams on the public holidays when people do not go to work. So that's it for today. We tried to look at concepts of simplicity and complexity in different cultures. We heard a lot about intercultural experiences of Vietnamese exchange students in Europe, where things look simpler to them because they are more plannable and a little less complex. It is true that you would perhaps not find a street in Finland that is as busy as any small side street in Vietnam. We try to find out how cultural complexity is manifested in different conventions. For example, at the dinner table when people offer you some food. Zimas from Lithuania and Tatjana from Germany discovered how different conventions about offering food and being a good host can make a difference. However, they agreed that these differences may be new, as their grandparents would perhaps show their hospitality in very similar ways. Jia and An also described what is called a reverse culture shock after being out of their own culture for a long time, and on return, feeling almost like a foreigner in their own country. Now that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please check out our website, absolutelyintercultural.com, to get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 2nd of May. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.